stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This takes us to item number 3, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. On any item that is not on the agenda items, you'll have the opportunity to address the board at that time. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Mary Williams from Oceana. I have to read this because I get tongue-tied. The board of directors have known that a water and sewer rate increase is necessary for at least the last 3 years. Time after time, the various directors said that they didn't want to do a rate increase until after the election. Recently, the general manager stated the rate study cost about $27,000. That was just the amount paid to Tuckfield as a consultant. It did not include the cost of the engineer, never mind the hours and hours spent on the project by staff. In reality, the study cost more than $50,000. All anyone has to do is go back and add up the charges on the engineer's bill for the rate study over the past 18 months. So we already know who the newly elected directors will be, since the two candidates will assume two vacancies. Why, then, have you not made a decision on the rate increases this time? It will not get any better. If you don't do it now, you will need even higher increases. Please, do your jobs and make a decision now. During 2009-10, the general manager presented a package to the board for a new computer system that would do all the utility billing, payroll, receipts, and payables in account. The board approved the package the same night after being told by the general manager that the cost of the system was approximately $115,000 without any of the directors ever seeing the contract. In reality, the new system, including a service and support agreement, will cost the district over $223,000 at the end of the 5-year purchase period. Where did the money for the new system come from? Was it from reserves? Was it by decreasing the number of employees in administration? And how could the board have made such an important decision without reading the contract? Over the last couple of years, the repairs were finally made to the sewer system, which were incurred as a result of the December 2003 earthquake. Approximately $1 million in DRI and CDBG funds were obtained through joint efforts of the district with the county. A claim was filed for the district expenditures funded by DRI funds, and a check was received from the state for approximately half of the money funded by OCSD. Was a second claim for repairs made with CDBG funds ever submitted to the county for reimbursement? If so, how much did the district receive? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Good evening, Mr. President, board members. How are you? My name is Jeff Edwards. Water is becoming an increasingly hot topic in Oceano these days, and as you know, there are a lot of things going on. What I'd like to speak to tonight is the big picture in this whole water situation. As you know, Oceano is part of the Northern Cities Management Area, which includes Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo, and, of course, your district. As I mentioned, a lot's going on. For example, the Central Coast Water Authority is considering the exchange of pipeline and treatment plant capacity, wherein the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District is to receive 1,500 acre feet of state water, of which they're going to keep 250 acre feet, and they're going to pass on the other 1,250 acre feet to the city of Pismo Beach. The interesting aspect of that is that the whole exchange of pipeline capacity is in large part based on the need to reduce groundwater pumping, which, of course, is your least cost method of generating water supply. So that's happening. There's actually a meeting tomorrow morning in Buellton before the CCWA. Also, this district is considering selling some 200 acre feet of water to Arroyo Grande on a permanent basis instead of the current situation, which is more or less renting them about 100 acre feet a year presently. Also, as I mentioned, the Northern Cities Management Area, there's further evaluations regarding threats to the groundwater basin from potential seawater intrusion, and further assessment of water supplies and demands in the Northern Cities area. And, of course, the water and wastewater rate study that you're going to be further considering tonight, of realizing water as a resource to a more expensive, less reliable source is probably not in the best interest of the district. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to board member items for comment. Director Dean, would you like to start today?
I have nothing at this time.
Director Hill?
Nothing at this time.
Director Angelo?
Nothing.
I want to know if it's appropriate for me to talk a little bit about the saltwater intrusion, since it's not considered to be agendized.
Yeah, it's.
Under the Brown Act, is that copacetic?
I think we can talk about it under these comments, but not make any decisions.
You can certainly talk about it, but the place where you start to run afoul of the Brown Act is when there's a interchange between you and the other board members that might be construed as moving towards a decision.
I'm used to talking to myself.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I sit on the Zone 3 district for representing the district, and that's kind of the last step where all the water guys come together and all the engineers come together, but pretty much everything's been done by that point once it gets to there. So recently, if people remember about last October, we had a threat of a saltwater groundwater intrusion through one of our wells. And what it did is it started this huge snowball effect, the threat of saltwater intrusion. And we were asked, the district asked that the test be done again and again and at different times of the year and by different samplers. And the well came out to be not as strong as we'd like it to be, but there was not any saltwater intrusion. But anyway, the wheels were turning. The voices were screaming, and the cities around us, particularly Pismo, had sent off a request for a declaration. What it is that the state has water. There's water wheelers. Oceana was considered a potential disaster area under the pretense of saltwater intrusion. We were asked as a courtesy to cut back on our well water and consume our most expensive water, which was state water and Lopez water, and pull back off our most cost-effective source, which is our well water. Now, I have the letter that was written from Oceano, and I'd like to pass these packets around to the Board of Directors, and I've made one for staff as well. The wheels to be moved very, very quickly. I being new on the on this huge, huge system of water, one person, and not super knowledgeable about how this particular area works. I have to say is that this is a job bigger than one director, and I hope we keep that in mind in the future assigning committees. An application was submitted by our hired engineer saying that Oceano and Pismo were at risk of saltwater intrusion and was requesting that water be delivered on a one-time-only basis of 4,500 acre feet. 4,500 acre feet was granted through a wheeler called CCWA, aka county, state, you know, just another entity. What happened from that point on is the problem that's most disturbing to me in this crisis is that somebody had commented that, you know, water is like gold. It truly, truly is. You cannot have enough water, you know, in my opinion, and particularly if it's a commodity that you're able to sell to sustain your village. So CCWA, knowing that Oceano was cash-strapped, traded 3,000 acre feet out of a 4,500 allocation to Pismo and Oceano. That would mean that they gave us this water under no exchange of dollars for capacity and pipeline use. They kept $3,000 to gain, which is a very wise business move, to give 1,500 acre feet to come to Oceano and Pismo Beach. What I've discovered is the application did not, the declaration did not come before the board of Oceano. It was passed in. The letter declaring us a potential threat did not come before this board, and an application was sent to the state, and I've passed that application on. And what it is it's an initial study and a proposed negative declaration. And what it's saying is that we're requesting water, one, too costly to the people of Oceano. Two, it's an insult that we wouldn't even get a token gallon. You know, that you would create this hysteria, and that's what it is, on our backs for water for somebody else. So the story goes on, and it gets deeper and deeper, and it digs deeper and deeper into our pockets. You know, so Oceano just kindly gave away 1,500 acre feet of water based on our expert that is in our annual budget with abundant raises throughout the next, however the law study wants to go on for, convinced CCWA that Oceano had plenty of water and didn't need any good water. And it was already paid for, so I felt that I needed to pass that on, and I'd like to have that document, that application, sent on to everybody. I don't know if that application ever came to this board. I don't think it has come to this board, but it's already been submitted to the state. The train has left the station. Oceano got left on the tracks. And I'm sure you're going to get many, many versions of this story, and the story goes deeper. But I also have, for the people who are in the room, I've made copies of the meeting that will be held in Buellton tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., making the final choice. So thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. This takes us on to... Is there any public comment on board member items for comment? Please come to the podium, state your name and residence, please.
Hi, my name is Giselle Naylor. I'm a resident of Oceano, and the comments that Miss Lucy made about our sale of Oceano water to other cities is been of interest to me. I've never been able to get those documents that would explain to the residents of Oceano exactly what was involved in this transaction. I vaguely remember that when Mitch Cooney was the general manager, I don't know if that is the particular transaction that Miss Lucy is referring to, but I do remember that there was a sale of water, of Oceano water, and I've always wanted to get information regarding the sale of Oceano water, the sale of any Oceano water within the last 10 years. So I guess would I need to make a Ralph Brown Act request? I think those contracts, once they're finished, are considered public record if they involve, as a part of the contracting, people that are involved, if it involves a government employee whose signature appears on that contract. My understanding is that becomes a public record, and Mr. Seamus might be able to speak to this. The second thing, and I'm going to be brief, is Miss Lucy passed out some paperwork that she came across, and she just gave it to the board. Will that become a member, part of the public record on any agenda? Does the public have access to be able to read what you're reading?
General Manager Montemuro, could you address those concerns, please?
As far as you know, the things that we receive, we always offer them to the public. We charge minimum 10 cents a sheet, or sometimes they're on the internet for free. Now, if it's the board's pleasure, for example, this document that I haven't read it yet, but that Mary passed out, we can post it tomorrow on the, you know, on the website. That's not a problem. Then anybody can. And if someone doesn't have internet access, if they come to the lobby, I'll be sure that we make some copies of these and have them available.
Okay, and then there was some other documents she was requesting. Do you know what those documents were?
Well, everything she referred to, I believe, is a public record, and it's available if somebody makes an appropriate request to the district. Okay. There's no secrets in any of the documents that have been discussed here.
Okay.
Good luck finding them.
Well, some of the contracts go back many years, so it may well be that they would be difficult to retrieve. But what we have
7 days long.
Yeah, so. what they have is a public record.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, please.
Carol Henson, Oceano. I just would like to ask a question regarding Ms. Lucy's comments regarding an application that was made to the water. I feel that we should have been in a position to either accept it or gift it somewhere else since it was free. And since we're talking budget and we're talking possible increases in water rates, and I think that it would be like money in that we could sell it and it would come into our coffers, and possibly it would give some relief on the amount that Tuckfield feels that we need to increase our rates, and it wouldn't fall onto the back of the constituents in the district. So I don't understand how this can be going on without it somehow or another trickling down to that, when we're sitting here talking about raising rates and needing to, and why, you know, for our reserve. And I hope I understand it, and I hope that is available to the public. I'd be very interested in reading it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comments on the board member items for comment? Okay, bring it back to the board. We're moving on to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes. Minutes for October 13th. Any questions or changes from the board? Okay, any public comment on the minutes? Okay, bring it back to the board. What's the board's pleasure?
I'll move approval of the minutes of October 13th as presented.
Second.
Okay, have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Takes us to item number 6, cash disbursements. Any questions, clarifications, comments on the board?
It's really nice having these at the top of the agenda.
General Manager Montemuro, page number 2, line 4, $975. Can you tell me what that was for?
Page number 2. Yes. You're talking about item number 1, 2, 3, the fourth one down from the top? Okay. In the past, you saw invoices for, I believe it was called ACI, It was an abbreviation for a service that we used to contract with that maintains like our computers, our, you know, email, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, two things have happened. The previous ACI raised their rates from $75 an hour to $100 without even, you know, asking me. So when they did that, I started looking for, you know, an alternative. And then in the meantime, ACI went to Australia and sent me an email that they were going to be there like for 12 weeks and gave me some, you know, internet access if I needed help or whatever. So with that, I found a new person, and that's the new person there, that 975. He's very pleased to work at the old rate that we were paying the other consultant. So I'm thankful that the rate hasn't gone up. He's very accessible. The last project he did, and that's what this 975 is, the internet and the email went down at the yard. Now, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, previously we had two separate internet providers, you know, and that's duplication and added expense. We had Charter internet here and AOL at the yard. Well, I'm glad to report that now we have just one, Charter internet. And besides that piece, he over here in the office, we have a stuff in the system that doesn't match the audits. And the reason I use those years is because for those years we have audits. And for example, one of the pieces that doesn't match is the travel expenses. So it's that kind of stuff. We're having difficulty in two areas. One, in extracting the information from our present outdated system, and two, in that information being, what can I say, validated or deemed liable to upload into the new system. But it is coming along.
Yeah. So we're making the monthly payments that we're...
Yes, we're making the lease payment, and like I say, it's moving forward, but the last problem required 265-page document to get out of this old system so that it could be compared to attempt to see why the information they had didn't match.
Okay, so were we supposed to be paying on that lease before they had it up and running for us?
Yes. Because part of the lease, you know, was because we didn't have the money to pay for the system, and it's all packaged into one thing. It includes computer support, it includes the cost of the computer, and it includes, like, this kind of stuff that the data, you know, doesn't match well, yet we're fixing it. And that's good, because then when the new system goes up and running, I'll have more confidence in the data that's in there.
Okay, so we're not going to be getting billed additional because of all the time they're taking.
No, we're still making the same. You know, I'm just sad that, quote, we're, you know, making the lease payment and we can't use the service. But otherwise, it's not going to cost us any more money.
Okay.
What we're being deprived of is use of the thing sooner. We would like it sooner rather than later, but we are working at it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a follow-up on that. At last meeting, we had Sharon Nakarati and Harold Wright services that were over $3,000 in 1 month's time. Are those the people that are working on this with the computer?
No, Harold
is
helping us work on the audits. Harold doesn't, you know, work with the... But yes, Sharon helps us with the AS400. She's the only person around here that knows anything about it. And she also, besides the computer, actually helps us with the utility billing, because how we bill. So, for example, every time we have a billing, if there's any glitch or we get a a wrong bill or something, you know, we have to call her in. She accesses the system. She works with Carol Ann, and we get the bills out.
And that was nearly $3,000.
It's
very high.
It's very expensive. But so there's I want to repeat what I said earlier. One of our computer technicians raised the rate. Didn't say anything. I found out. I looked for another one. The problem in that scenario is, even though it's high, I can't find anyone around here that will help us that knows how to work with that system. So we have to pay Sharon's bill. But I have to tell the truth. She's for a couple weeks, she took some vacation, and she had a family issue, a family wedding. But otherwise, she's very accessible. Like tomorrow, you know, if we have a problem with, now we're on the second notices of the billing, or we're working on the payroll for Friday, if we call her, you know, she comes in and helps whoever, whether it's the utility billing or whether it's the accounts payable. If we call Sharon, she comes and helps us with the issue.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions on the disbursements? Okay. I think we've already done public comment. I'm not sure, but we'll do it again anyway. Any public comment on the disbursements? Okay. Bring it back to the board. I'll entertain a motion. Oh, public comment? Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead. That's all right.
I wasn't sure that I could get up and speak publicly. I'm just concerned about the length of time it's taking us to get our new computer system up, because, you know, it was going to save us money because we wouldn't have the Sharon Nicarotti expense and we wouldn't have the Howard expense. And the billing, I believe, if I remember, was going to be the best feature of it all, because it could do a lot of things that we can't do now. However, what's happening is we're paying for the new software system, and we're still paying all the back things too. So we have added expense rather than less expense. And I was just wondering, out of curiosity, this September, October, and I, just as an aside, was at the vets today, and they paid a lot of money for a new software system, and but they're not in the new software system. They're still using the old system, and in fact, they abandoned the new software system because it would just pose so many problems to try to get everything out of the old and put it into the new. So I'm not a computer person. I don't know if that's possible, but if there are some things that aren't really important to get out of the old AS 300, I say leave it be and let's go forward. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else like to make a comment on the cash disbursements? Okay, thank you. Bring it back to the board. We'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the bills as for this last week's billing and approve the bills as presented.
Second.
Yeah, thank you. A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Takes us on to item number 7, administrative items. 7A is a recommended increase, both water rates and sewer rates.
Mr. President, noting that item 7C is discussion of district finances, it might be worthwhile to have that discussion in advance of 7A.
I have no objection, problem with that. Anybody else have an objection with that?
No.
Okay, we are going to be moving item 7C up to the top right now and discuss item 7C first. So that discussion is on district finances. General Manager Montemuro, would you like to give an introduction to this?
Item 7C, it's a discussion about district finances, revenue, expenditures, and cash on hand. I have prepared for the board a 9-page summary that includes both revenue and expenditures. I'm very confident that every item on these nine pages is accurate, whereas there are a few when it comes to financial data that I can say that about. That's why I'm saying it about pages 1 through 9, and I'm not saying it about the last piece, which says cash on hand. So page 1 through 9 basically starts with the first bill that we paid in July 1st, or quote, with the new fiscal year, and the first revenue that we received starting July 1st. All revenue except, I repeat, all revenue except revenue that, for example, in June and July, the county puts some sales tax in our county account. This doesn't show that. These nine pages show that in July we received $61,167.95 here at the office, combination of mostly people paying their water bills because there's been very, very little development. August receipts, $339,243.45. And September receipts of $62,655.81. So the total receipts for the first quarter of this fiscal year or this budget year, whichever term you prefer, totaled $463,067.21. And for example, you know, if you look at the pages 1 of 9, 2 of 9, you know, I'm very pleased that not only does it show the amount, but it shows whether it was received cash, whether it was received check. Now, one may say that, gee, that doesn't sound like much of an accomplishment, but that's the way it should be. Well, I assure you that in the past, that's not the way it was. The expenditures are every check that we've issued since July 1st. I'm glad to say that I'm confident that every one of those checks has showed up on the register and came to this board for approval. It's not like at times that checks were issued and they were signed and the board never saw any paperwork on them. I have personally reviewed all the, before these checks were presented to the board, I had made the comment that expenditures were greater than revenue. And these nine pages show just exactly that. Besides the nine pages, which is a snapshot of everything that we've done as far as income and expenses since July 1st, there's a second page that's a single page in your packet that says Agenda Item 1027, 2010 in the lower right-hand corner, and it says 7C as in Charlie. This sheet, I'm not as confident as I was on the previous nine pages because it has information, for example, says that on June 30th of 07, you know, the district had a value of $1,946,401.26. It says that on June 30th of 08, we had a $2,051,622.51. And on June 30th of 09, we were at $1,674,317.61. Those figures are information that now between, you know, in and out of that computer and part of the help from the new computer people and stuff, this is information that was in there. I present it just as that so that we can look back. I've often feel that people are skeptical when I make statements as to, you know, how much money we're losing. So that's why I put those figures in there, but I can't say I'm very confident of them. Now, it says above those, it says total balance funds on deposit 9/30/2010. Those figures I'm very confident of. And it shows that that was $1,467,772.51. It shows, like, for example, if someone comes in my office, our bank statement now, a couple meetings ago, I presented that to the board. I showed you that the new bank statement list, it shows the checking account, it shows the money in the government fund, it shows the CDs. Well, all that information is reflected here on this page. And it shows that we have at Rabobank $636,039.27 in that government fund that at one time was in the state fund. And I'm very pleased because we can look at the monthly statement on the bank, and that's paying us like $350 interest. Above that, it says LAIF, which is the abbreviation for the Local Agency Investment Fund, or in layperson's term, that's the old state fund. There's $293.59 in there because, first of all, the dividends are always delayed. Second of all, when I explained to the board that we were going to take the money out of there and put it at Robert Bank for a better rate and to be paid more often, I took out the money that was in there, but we didn't close the account because, you know, you don't want to burn that bridge. If things change, if the state comes up with something new or creative, at least this way, with a minimum amount, there's only $293.59 there, but we still have an account. And in the county, it says the SLO County Fund. This is basically an account that a couple times a year, money that we receive from the county levy and fees and fines and money that we get from the county, it's deposited, and that account is actually in the county auditor's office. There's $448,070.01 in that. Back to the Rabobank, besides the money that's in the government fund that we're receiving pretty good interest, they're listed in this sheet of paper. The CDs are all three there, the ones that were dormant, well, they're awake now. And last but not least, it shows that on September 30th, it says Rabo Demand, which is another word for checking account. In the demand deposit, we had $313,820.27, but don't get too excited because that's what was in there on September 30th. The expenditures that we've approved in October, which this meeting were minimal, but the previous meeting were a couple hundred thousand, they have been charged against that. But still, and I would like to especially thank the three directors, you know, that supported my budget, because, like, for example, if we look at every nickel we have on hand here, this is all after the new budget. So under the old administration, with two more management positions in there and the salary and the benefits and stuff, we'd have, you know, less money in this account than is in there now. So, and that, you know, unless someone has a specific question, concludes my comments as to what the bottom line is, because the bottom line, the secret of the bottom line is watch the expenditures. And I don't wait till the end of the quarter. I don't wait till the board tells me they want a report. I do that every month.
Any questions, comments from the board?
I have a question. Starting on this page you just went over, do you have the balance on as of 6/30/2010, the balance in the investment report? Do you know what that amount was?
On 6/30 of 10,
mm-hmm.
You want the balance in which account?
Yeah, on all of these accounts?
No.
You don't have those?
No. Because so, on that was why I said I was so confident of this, because this is all, this reflects, and this is what I was told to present, this reflects where we are with the budget and what started July 1st.
It is a snapshot, like you said.
Right.
Because exactly. What we have here is our revenues and expenditures. We're in the hole. We're in the red. Over
exactly.
$511,272.63. However, what you have are major expenditures that are slow county expenditures that come in, fire department that came in.
And those are, like, for example, when I said that on pages 1 through 9, those are the expenditures, like, for example, July, the highest one, $499,152.30.
Right, and those come again in December or January, end of December, right?
Both. Usually what happens is we're billed for those, like, in December and, with the holidays and stuff. Often there's no second meeting in December, so they don't actually get paid or addressed till January, but the county understands that they bill them in December, and we pay them either in December or in January. Now, when that time comes, what I'll do is I'll be sensitive, just like I was on these 499. I'll pay them based on the float. Like, for example, in July here, when we paid the $499,152.30, one of those county bills, I only paid half of it. They were only asking for 40%. Remember we had this discussion in the past?
Mm-hmm.
But I paid 50%. Well, since then in September when the cash flow was better, I paid the balance. That's why there's another discrepancy. If you look, one could ask, well, how come expenditures were 168 in August and 300 in September?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then in September, the float had built up that I was able to pay the other 50% of that large county bill that I didn't pay in July.
And that is from our water billings that
yes,
are coming
yes.
in.
And they were very
and that's
pleased.
Your revenues.
They were pleased. When I spoke with them in July, they said, well, can you give us an idea when you'll be able to pay the second half? They thought that, hearing how bad things are, that I was going to say December. And I'm sure that if I had said December, as long as they know, they would have worked with us. But I told them, I says, you're going to be paid the balance before the start of the second quarter. And they said, well, thank you very much. And we paid it in September.
So you are saying, though, that we are going in arrears about $300,000 a year?
Till,
as far as you know.
Yeah, that was the past. Now, we're doing better now because, like I said earlier when I, talked about the budget, our new budget has less fixed costs. But it doesn't have 300,000 of us. So, but,
no.
I was asked earlier, how much money did we lose last year? And I said, well, the first thing I would expect was to balance the previous year's budget. They made up a line item in there that they were going to get $284,000 as a result of the rate increases. And the rate was never increased. So I rounded on that. Plus, in July, we went through a big thing with the state on the workers' comp audit. And last year, they underfunded. They didn't pay the workers' comp by $12,000. So if it's caught up to date now, but if we take the $12,000 that they underpaid the state, and $1.4 million figure, when in the past they had $2 million, and it's not brain surgery. You're back to losing $300,000 a year. 3 and 3 is 6, and $600,000 and $1.4 million is $2 million.
But we've made cost. We have done some cost
We've made numerous cost adjustments. But
yes. So you don't expect that to make a change too much in the total.
The answer to that question is yes and no. In the past, what was done was everything was overspent. There was nothing, small stuff, like even the light bills. There was no consideration of saving or economizing anything. And then what they did was they just went to the reserves. Now, we itemize everything. Pardon the expression, we even get two bids before we buy toilet paper. Okay. So that helps, and the expenses are the key, but it doesn't give us the money that we need, for example, the infrastructure. We've got some water mains that are 2-inch steel pipe that have been there since the 50s, some from 52, some from 59. If you're barely bringing in enough money to pay the bills, you sure as heck can't upgrade the infrastructure.
And that hasn't happened for years.
And that hasn't happened for years. So that's my concern when in the previous line item I make the comment that recommending rate increase in the water rates have not been adjusted since 97. At this time, expenditures are greater than revenue and services are at risk. And that's what I feel. Now, as far as are we doing a better job than in the past? Well, I'm not one to pat myself on the back. That's not my style. But if we weren't doing a better job than in the past, you'd have my resignation.
And so the I wanted to ask about the capital improvement projects. You're talking about infrastructure improvements.
The first capital improvement project is the meters. The second capital improvement project is going to be the water mains. And the third capital improvement project is going to be the fire hydrants. We already have them, you know, prioritized. And what we're trying to do with the priority is limit the risk for the district. And we're doing the meters first because we're in desperate need of cash.
Right.
As a matter of fact, later on I'm going to tell you just how many of the new meters we've got in the ground already. I'm very pleased with my team at the water department. They're doing a great job.
The capital improvement projects, we are asking for CDBG funds. We have put in a request for those, right, for a couple of those?
Yes. Well, yes, because we picked the project that we believed would give us the best chance of the county approving, okay? When I said earlier that the priority and we're going to have with next year's budget, besides a budget, we're going to have a five-year CIP, when I said that first we're doing the meters, then we're doing the water mains, then we're doing the hydrants last, I meant that that's how we're going to do them in the future with the money that we bring in. Presently, we have applied, even though it wasn't one of the priorities, we felt that how the counties has money for CDBG, that our two, we picked two projects. One is like 140-some-odd thousand, and the other one's like 70-something. So roughly, it's like $250,000. But they're both exactly the same. They're old steel pipes that have been in the ground since, I believe, one is 52 and one is 59. Don't quote me, but for sure they're no newer than 59. And they're 2-inch steel pipes. And the county has money for that type because that's a risk. Tomorrow, one of those 2-inch steel pipes that's been loading and rusting on the inside for the last 50-some years, right now, who knows, the flow could be down to, rather than 2-inch, maybe 3/8. And if that blows, well, then we have to go out there, dig up the street, and fix it. So of the things that need improvement, we felt that our best plea, our best chances where the county would be most sympathetic on our cause was in the steel mains that are over 50 years old. And that's what the CDBG grant consists of. Nothing but two. I believe one of them is actually, besides a 2-inch steel pipe, has a 1-inch steel pipe. And, you know, by the time the grant's done, that 1-inch steel pipe could break. We'd have to fix it regardless. And as a matter of fact, like I said earlier, without being repetitious, I'm very proud of my team in the water department. What we're doing is so that we can see how bad the mains are and stuff. Like, for example, some of the meters that we replaced recently are on the old steel pipes.
And last meeting, we had several people talk to us and say that they wished we would get our new meters in before so that we could get the increased revenue because we're thinking that there will be increased revenue because there, how much increase will you see or do you expect?
Well,
they're slow.
You know,
the old meters are slow.
Yes.
They do not report accurately.
That's exactly correct. The mechanical engineers say that as the meter records the gears just, you know, kind of grind smooth and wear down so that they record slower. But the problem with that is everyone will tell you, yes, the old meters should be replaced and you'll increase revenue. But no one has an educated figure to say, because each meter is actually different. You know, you might replace one meter, for example, and improve the units charged, for lack of a better term, or the revenue received from that residence by 10%. But you might replace another one. It could be 5, it could be 15. Basically, each one is different. So that's a very difficult question. We know that it's going to help revenue, but we don't know how much. You know, is the meter 25 years old or is it 50 years old?
But you will know after it's been metering for a couple of months here. You'll be tracking these, I take it.
Yes, that's another reason that earlier I didn't want to respond, but I'll bring it up now because it's appropriate. That's another issue I have with putting up with this old dinosaur that we have of a computer. The reason is it has that type of information in there. For example, you know, here I have a book that's just meter info, okay? Well, I can go and hear this one. I won't say the street number, I'll just say the street. On Paso Robles in November of 73, they put in a meter, okay? So because of that, we know the address, the street, and how old that meter is. I don't want to lose that type of data, because as we attempt to improve the infrastructure, that stuff is priceless. I'm more concerned in that type of data, the meters, the mains, you know, what needs to be done to move the district forward, than I am in last year's audit. I already know that they overspent more than they took in. So,
So is that the part that's becoming hard to...
Well,
reference in the new one?
That's a piece of it. See, we have, that's the other, it's like a double-edged sword. Okay, that thing's a dinosaur and nobody under age 50 knows how to use it and so on and so forth. But it has old stuff in there that you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. You don't want to lose that type of information just because it's 50 years old. Sometimes... Who was it that said that, you know, if we didn't study history, we were doomed to repeat it?
Yeah. Well, it's priceless historical information for this district. I had one last question about the capital improvement projects. We're talking about a backlog of $1.3 million in capital improvement projects because we haven't done anything for years and years. Even when we had the money, we didn't do anything.
That's a minimum. That's a figure that Tuckfield used in his report.
But if
someone actually sat down with a clipboard and went around and really did a good evaluation of where things are, it's at least that. Look at the tanks themselves, for example. You can see that there's corrosion on the outside. They haven't been painted. Now someone says, well, that's no big deal. You can just, you know, sand the rust off and paint them. It's not that easy. It's extremely expensive to paint water tanks. And that's the stuff that you can see because it's above ground. Think of the main that's been in the ground and it's steel and it's been there since 1952. They can't go repair to replace the meter because they touch it and it breaks.
Right. It's brittle now.
Exactly. So therefore, the infrastructure, if anything, you're looking at closer to $2 million than you are to $1 million.
And the last time the tanks were painted was 2001. They did that, and they put a new bottom in one of the big tanks.
Exactly. One has
liner. One of the big tanks has a big
same thing.
New
now,
bottom.
What was done then needs to be done to the other tank now, the liner, the painting, all that stuff.
They have to sandblast it before they do that.
I believe it was not last meeting, the meeting before, I shared that at that time we had four valves in the yard that were broken and were building because that has very specific stuff as to how much chlorine needs to be added and stuff. It's very, you know, technical. So the economist in me says, I don't want to be like the military and spend a quarter for a nickel cure. If I have a problem with that chlorination thing, we're dead in the water. So the first valve I'm going to fix is the valve that feeds the chlorination system. Now, there's no problems with the chlorination system. It's working. But I wasn't going to risk that we needed to access or to work on the chlorination system and we couldn't turn the water off. I might as well stamp stupid on my forehead. So that's the valve I replaced first.
Okay. Any more? Anything else? Director Dean? Anyone else have any questions, comments?
I do have some. Director Dean started to ask about the numbers, which are the comps here are 630 numbers, end of fiscal year numbers, not 930 numbers, and that's fairly significant because our funds on deposit vary through the year. So it would be more helpful to have September data, which I do have and haven't had the time to dig it out. I know that we do make the significant payments in July to the county right after the 630 numbers or our snapshot is taken. Second issue, kind of along the same lines, while I agree that the numbers here are accurate, having 3 months of data is almost worse than having 2 months of data because we bill bimonthly, and this shows a non-bill month, a bill month, and a non-bill month. So if anything, it understates our revenue while probably overstating our expenses due to the fact that the bills to the county for water are included for the first 6 months. So the general manager is right on a number of cases. First of all, having good information that you can rely on is critical. We haven't had that for years. And it's going to take a few months, you said 18 months, and I tend to agree with that, to get numbers that are reliably accurate that we can project on. Another thing that we've done is the general manager, to his great credit, has reduced the expenses here by a few orders of magnitude. He's done a fabulous job of bringing expenses under control in the face of some adversity. Still, it looks to me like the best estimate that we have is looking at the big picture, going back to the sinking ship model of what our budget is, what our audits that are 2 years out of date showed. And at one point, it looked like we were probably had a hole to fill of about $300,000 a year. Some of that, I think, we've plugged with the cutbacks that the general managers made in our expenditures. Again, a fabulous job. Part of that, I think, has been offset to a degree by outside sales of water. But still, by my estimate, we're $100,000 to $150,000 a year. Our revenues don't meet our expenses, which have been brought under control. So in terms of where we are, the statement of our monies on deposit, I'm glad to have a reliable figure finally presented. The 3 months worth of data, the 9 pages that was presented, extremely valuable material, but again, it's until we get about 18 months of that, it's kind of incomplete. So we're at a position where, in my estimation, we are going in the hole, but we don't know exactly and can't know exactly, in my opinion, because of the vagaries of the old computer system where we are. So I tend to look at things on the order of probably $100,000 to $150,000 deficit on an annual basis. And I don't know if the general manager has an opinion on that, or if you have a...
So we don't have to get the calculator. Let's say $60,000 each. So 1660 is 120. And then you've got, you know, the other stuff, the vacation, the pensions, all those, the insurance. And we've reduced expenses, you know, in other areas. Like, for example, Director Angelo brought to my attention the baskets over there that we used to pay hundreds of dollars a month, and now our team does it every other week, and by the end of the year that'll save us another $7,000. We've made cuts in you know, how we buy supplies. For example, paper is a very expensive item, okay, and we use a lot of paper, okay? Well, the previous administration, 69, 70, whatever the price was for paper a box, and a box consists of 10 reams of paper, or for round numbers, 5,000 sheets, they'd order a box for two at a time. Well, you don't get a deal on paper unless you order at least three. You have to have paper to use. You can't wait till... So what we've done, for example, that's why they're almost all gone. There was thousands and thousands of sheets of old colored paper. It looked like an arts and crafts center. We sent it all out. The new paper that we've replaced it with that we haven't used, no box have we exceeded the $30 a box. It's either been 29 or 29 something. So we're buying paper at half the cost, you know. And these are just a couple little things. I reduced my car allowance by over 30%. I want to thank the board members as well. You've reduced your committee pay, for example. You know, last year you were paid for committees. This year you're not. So everything, you know, is a help. Savings is, there's no such thing as a bad savings. Wherever you can save money, it's a good thing. So we're trying to save money in all areas. And I would believe that between the salaries and the other cuts that we've made, and the drop and stretch type thing, we've had some employees that weren't replaced but have been reassigned at a lower rate of pay, I would be confident to say that we could probably expect to have $150,000 less fixed costs this year than they had in the previous two that they raided the cookie jar by over $300,000. Now, I won't know that for sure till like January, till we're halfway through the year, but I would hope, and when I put the budget together, that was what I was working towards. Okay, how much can we reduce it and still get by? So I believe that the new budget is at least $150,000 leaner than the old one.
That's all I have. Anyone else have any questions, comments?
No, I don't.
Director Lucy?
So, as you put the pieces together, do you take it off like what you perceive to be the debt? Well, what the data is basically showing us with holes in it. The guesstimate of the debt. I'm going to use the word the guesstimate of the debt. Is that what you do? So when you recoup a buck, do you take a buck off?
I do it the other way. I concentrate more on the expenses and less on the revenue. Okay. Because if you're going to make an error...
So if the county... So let me just say this. So if the county came back and said, you're going to get $185,000 credit because we overpaid on our Zone 3 project. Where would you put that?
You're saying 185?
Yeah.
You're very, very close. There's $184,000 out there that we've overpaid. It's in Santa Barbara County. I'm attempting to retrieve it.
Different money I'm talking about. But anyway, the point being is, where would you put that? Would you say, okay, that's 185 less that we're not in the hole? Or would you set it to the side? Or
where I would put that is in the government fund, because it's paying higher interest, and then we don't have at this point any money other than what's on page 7C. There are no reserves. So, for example, if I got a windfall like that of $180,000 for the county, I'd put it in.
If we've been paying on this bond, and now the bond, we've done paid our debt, right? Would you take that off the balance of what we owe?
Well, those funds are collected through the property tax and passed back through. So net-net, it doesn't affect the district's finances. The bonds are collected as part of the property taxes. The funds are delivered from
so
the property
bonds,
owners to the district.
Right.
The district turns around and passes that money to pay the bond. It
so
passes through our hands,
so the
but net
are
net
not
is
not included in our annual budget.
I don't know that.
Well, that has a lot to do with my question. Is the bonds included?
It's not a bond. It's a loan that is going to be fully completed in 2012-2013, and it's about $21,000 a year that we pay. So we will have another loan paid off. Those are usually run 30 years. It's not a bond. It's a loan.
That is included in our annual budget under other items.
Yes, it's one of our payments,
Okay. One of
our expenditures.
Would it be safe to say that we could deduct that from the debt?
Would
it be fair to say that?
After it's paid, yes.
Okay, but in 2 years, we do know that loan is going to be paid off, unless we get stupid and take out another one.
That's and that's why Tuckfield was talking about taking out another loan for the capital improvement projects, and maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Right. Okay, and then I wanted to ask you, the block grant funds that you've applied for, are these, I'm relatively sure, but are these redirected public works funds through the block grant? So the actual grant has not been released yet. It's not on schedule. We're not there yet. But what's happening right now is the redirecting of unspent funds. Is that what you applied for, sir?
When I spoke to Tony Navarro, he told me that they suspect there's like $800,000 left.
Okay, so it's unspent block grant funds that the county. Yeah, okay, great.
But, you know, we're...
I get it.
We're one of many people applying.
Yes, I understand the line's long. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, public comment on this item.
Giselle Naylor, Oceana resident again. I want to thank this board after years and years of getting it together to actually crunch the numbers and come up with some realistic figures. I know you haven't completed it yet, but it's from a homeowner's point of view, it just feels so good after living here for 10 years to finally get a handle on, you know, where are we really at? What do we have? What do we owe? What are we paying out? So what worries me is that, you know, out of the what looks like visible contention in the past at some of the meetings, such good product has come out that I hope you guys don't mix it up again and leave before this is finished. You know, in the community, there's the gossip about how some people might want to leave. I wish you guys would stay. And, you know, however the board gets shaken up in November, I like what we have now, So I hope you guys stick around for a while, you know, so that we don't have to start from square one again.
And thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Luciano, I have a couple of questions regarding what Mr. Montemuro just talked about. And I wanted to ask now, when you're figuring your what you have, are you counting into that the water that we are now selling to Arroyo Grande as income that we can count on into the budget?
When you say now, do you mean in this report?
In the contract, that yes. In other words, money that we have that we can...
The reason I say that is, if you mean in this report, the answer to the question is no. Do you mean in this budget? Yes. In the budget, one of the sources of revenue was... It shows in there $100,000 of the sale for the water. But that's not... That was my comment when I read the numbers month per month. I said, this July, August, this is the money that we received at the... You know.
There was talk about the possibility and wanting to be able to sell water. Different people have different views on how much water you want to sell. However, we do have one viable contract in existence now, and if we were to sell more water, would that not augment this $150,000 that we're talking about now? Because Arroyo Grande is talking about us talking about the possibility of a permanent sale of water, and our district is making considerations, and while that is not a something that we can depend on right now, it's something to be considered.
That would be a item for, you know, next year's budget. You know, it would be extremely difficult to come up with a new water agreement and get it through the board at Arroyo Grande and through the board here and start distributing, you know, and collecting that water. But, for example, in next year's budget, I would hope that it would be there. That'll
next
help.
Next year in January?
No, next year is in, you know, 11, July 1st.
So you anticipate that negotiation would take us from now until all the way up until next July?
Well, they've been trying to raise the water rates for 13 years.
I'm not talking about raising
the water rates. It's the same thing. How long it takes... Nobody knows.
I'm talking about the selling of water.
I can't, like I said, the contract that we have, the $100,000, is in this year's budget. We know we're going to get it. We haven't received it yet. If we, for example, come up with a new contract that we're going to get new money.
Well, we would still have the old contract still in existence.
No.
There's no reason
No, that's not true.
You mean you couldn't, you would let them buy us out of the old contract even though it's good for 2.5 more years?
What is presently being negotiated with AG is...
With all due respect, I think we're getting a little bit off topic.
Yes, I apologize.
And,
I apologize. Thank you, Board.
Taking up quite a bit of time.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else like to address the Board on this subject?
Rick Searcy, Oceano. I'd like to thank the board for letting me speak tonight. I've been listening to the meeting progress tonight. I think all the board members have been asking some very good questions, sound very informed. But I think that, I heard something unusual tonight during one of the items, and that was a 5-0. Vote. And as leaders of this community, this is the time. Whatever the numbers are, you have it in front of you. I think everybody in this room has a good idea of what we need to move this community forward. But, you need to show a strong and cohesive determination to keep this district floating. Because if not, if you sit on your hands and you want to trade tit for tat, guess what? You're going to belly up, and the county will be down here, and this will be a county district once again. People of this community, our forefathers fought for this community service district to be built and serve us. So you can hand it, you can just, you know, fight over nickel and dimes. You know. But if you don't make the right decision, county board of supervisors and the county staff and their engineers won't come in here and give you an opportunity to tell you, well, you know, it's going to be this much. No, it will be this much, and you'll pay it
anyway,
or we'll take your property. That's the way it is.
That is how it works.
So I hope tonight you can come to a decision, Mr. President Burndall, and do the right thing. And it would show this community heart if it was a 5-0 vote.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Next to
8:16.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, coming back from the break, we're at item number 7A, recommended increase both water rates and sewer rates. General Manager Montemuro, could you introduce this, please?
Item 7A is before the board this evening, and we're suggesting, we're recommending an increase in both water rates and sewer rates. The recommended rate increase, the water rates have not been adjusted since 1997. At this time, expenditures are greater than revenue, and they have been for the last at least 3 years that I know of, and services are at risk. Set date for public hearing and start Proposition 218 process ASAP. The point I'm trying to make there is there are very few meetings between now and the end of the year. So, for example, the last time this was on the agenda and Mr. Tuckfield was here, we had, you know, requested a rate increase, then it went to committee. The reason I put it back on today's agenda is because if the board, for example, tonight were to say, yes, we're going to raise both the water rate and the sewer rate, and the board can do that, then I would start ASAP, the process for the Proposition 218. Well, our next, the meeting in December, December 8th, which would normally be the last meeting, is only 42 days away, so that won't be enough to be in compliance with the process. And previously, before I came, the second meeting in December was typically dismissed. If the board would entertain they haven't done it yet, so therefore it isn't dismissed. There's still a scheduled meeting for December 22nd. I would definitely make myself available. And the December 22nd meeting is 55 days from this evening. So therefore, it would give us an opportunity to raise the rates. Send out, I've prepared it, it's like 7A1, and there's other stuff in there, 7A2, 7A3. The board already has, it's on a shelf. I worked on it at great lengths. Director Hill, Director Dean helped me, and we have the paperwork for the 218 process. It's been before the board numerous times in the past. The only difference is today when you look at it, for example, on page 2, it shows what the existing rates are and the proposed rates are blank. We did that as a form of illustration that I asked the board to raise the rates because I have the district's best interest at heart. And in the long run, the only way to make sure that the district process prospers and goes forward is to raise the rates. Now, I can't vote, and you know the board will ultimately say if they raise the rates, and if so, by how much. But I just wanted to raise that point that if we don't do anything this evening, there will be no rate increase effective January 1st. And what I had recommended in the past when I spoke, and I make the same recommendation again, it's a starting point. I agree that no rate study is perfect, but we've spent over $27,000 already, and by the time it's done, when we get our last bill, the not to exceed, we're going to spend $29,800 for the Tuckfield report. My recommendation is keep it simple. Take the Tuckfield report, which will qualify for the 218 process. Even though we may have in that, especially the report shows that it should be raised January and again in July 1st. I'm not presenting that either. I'm suggesting we raise it for January 1st and then nothing in July, and then 18 months later we do the second step, and then the following year after that nothing. So basically we take page 2 that you can read the columns from left to right, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we make that a 10-year process, and we do the same with page 5, table E as in Edward, S as in Sam. Same thing. We don't make it difficult. There's 5 columns, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're saying that by the 5th year, that's what the rate should be, and I'm suggesting that you get to that rate in the 10th year, not in the 5th year. That way we can move the district forward. We'll be able to know exactly how much money we're getting in because we'll know a year in advance. What's really, really helpful and what really makes for good budgeting is to know what your future costs are going to be and what your future revenue is going to be. Well, this would show exactly what the future anticipated revenue would be for the next 10 years as far as increases. Now, I agree, it was eloquently said by audiences more than once, and I'll address that as well. I don't expect that if you raise the rates, you're going to get the full revenue like Tuckfield suggests or like his report suggests, because I'm an economist, and that never happens. And what that refers to is when I've lectured and I've taught economics in the past, that's a lecture that's referred to as the elasticity of demand. And basically, without lecturing here, what that means is that any normal good, if the price is raised and a person is normal, how they react to that is they buy less. So I understand that you know, we're not going to get the full revenue. But I also understand that we're not getting any additional increases now, nor have we gotten any for a long period of time. So I think that would be good planning. We can just, if the board were to take my recommendation and start the process this evening. Tomorrow, we would start, we'd have them out by the end of the week. We'd take the forms that are in the packet before you, fill in all the rate increases, and send them out. And then our public hearing would be December 22nd. We would invite the public back to, you know, meanwhile we'll collect the votes between now and then. And if the public votes it down, well, you know, at least we tried. But to do nothing, I don't think is the answer. Now, we can find all kinds of reasons not to move forward, but I believe that what's to the district's best interest is we've spent close to $30,000 for this report. It has some value. Is it perfect? No. But it has to be worth at least 50% of the face value. Will it qualify for our 218 process? Yes. If we start this evening, there's 55 days between now and December 22nd. December 22nd, hopefully we'll have a room full of people. They can voice their opinion. I can start with this weekend. I had prepared in the past, basically I would just change the date, but I'm talking about the exact same legal notice that, you know, has run in the paper before. We would run it at least three times between now and December 22nd to be in compliance, and we could have new rates approved for December 22nd that would take effect January 1st, and everybody would know what the rates would be, besides sending out the public the legal notice. We would make everyone that has any questions, like we did last time, it says that we have a copy of the rate study. We would make sure that the public would know in the information that we send out that we're not proposing a increase every year, twice in 1 year for the next five, that we're suggesting an increase, no increase for 18 months, and then every other year. And with that, that concludes, you know, my report. Whatever the board would like to do, you may do. I just wanted to raise the issue that if nothing is done this evening, there we won't have a rate increase for January 1st. That concludes my report.
District engineer, this study does a number of things. First of all, it reduces our fixed monthly charges in favor of a consumption-based rate structure. And in a community that, I don't care if you try to implement it over 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, in a community that has the water resources that ours does, trying to limit capacity use of water, in my opinion, is a fatal flaw with this entire thing. This report, first of all, over 5 years, and you can say 10 years, whatever, wants to double our sewer rates. Yet there's no, according to the engineering studies that have been done, our sewer system is in relatively good shape. Our water, this report says that we need to borrow a whole bunch of money to fix our water infrastructure. And that's built into these rates, too, the debt service on that borrowing money. So it seems to me that sale of assets to our neighbors or others is where we should start with that, and not just arbitrarily raise the rates. If we raise the consumption rate significantly, you're exactly right. The elasticity of demand is going to kick in. Demand will be reduced, revenue will be reduced, and we'll be, in my opinion, in a worse hole than we're at. Going back to my back-of-the-envelope calculations, we have, I think, two things we need to do. The first thing we need to do is support our ongoing operation, the O&M, the operation and maintenance expenses, through rates. And we have certain pretty much fixed expenses, if you will, which is the salaries, the costs of water, that sort of thing, fixed expenses. Those ought to be covered by rates. And the capital improvement program, which was laid out in our water master plan, that again we paid for at some handsome rate, which may or may not have even discussed the valves in the water yard, but should have. The money for the capital improvement projects, in my view, should come from sale of excess water rather than from going farther into debt just so we can have debt service, so we can raise the rates for debt service. So I think the Tuckfield report, whether you cut it in half, you cut it in fourth, I think you ought to take a pair of scissors and cut it in little pieces, because that's about what it's worth. It's completely worthless, in my opinion, for this community. What we need to do in terms of historical experience here, and the general manager talked about it tonight, I've talked about it over the last several years, we have about $150,000 in round numbers performance shortfall with our O&M costs. And that works out to about a $4 a month increase in our base water rate and a $2 a month increase on our base sewer rate. So that's the kind of numbers that I'm looking at. And I think that our capital improvement program ought to be funded through sale of water to other entities. I'm also concerned here because of an article that appeared in the Tribune in the last couple of weeks about Paso Robles' water rate hike, and they were brought into court about it. The significant thing is that the court also ruled, quoting from the article, that Paso Robles didn't adequately describe why it needs to increase water rates. And that lack of adequate description is not a verbal discussion that happens in a meeting. It's a written statement is what they're looking for. And this thing, in my opinion, for this community, doesn't even come close. Another thing that it does is give the bank-owned repos a free ride here on the backs of our consumers. When I ran for office, a re-election 2 years ago, everybody that I talked to, I told them we're going to need to raise the water rates. And people, I think, are generally receptive to that. It seems to me that we need to raise the water rates to raise about $150,000 a year in round numbers. And I can and will support that. But I think in order to do it, we're going to need a report that tells where we're at, and this is a really good start. We've got some viable numbers now.
But can we readjust all this once we pass their report? We don't have to necessarily agree with it, and then readjust it for a rate increase?
I think we can adjust the rates given that we follow the proper 218 procedures and so forth as often as is necessary.
Okay.
But what I can't see doing is using this thing as a basis for any of that. I really think we ought to go after him and try to get our $29,000 back.
Director Lucy?
You know, I was thinking about the same thing, going after him and getting our $29,000 back after I read the study even more. I, in good conscience, can't use this document because people of Oceano paid their bills and we took part of that money and we put it into reserves and we used the reserves in one way or another, right? That's not what the issue is on the table right now. But now we're going back to the ratepayers and saying, you paid once and now we want you to pay again. You already saved the reserves for whatever we were going to get, right? They're gone. Now we want you to pay it again. And I cannot do that. You know, that's just theft as far as I'm concerned. The loan is not an option. I read the scope of work for this study, and it was a rate study and options. A loan is what the only thing they listed as a loan. Also, too, is that the more and more I went through, the poorest scopes of work I've ever had to read in a grant. I could not decipher, figure out what percentage they use what for. There was just lumped line items with dollar amounts and percentages just whipped across the board, not taking into consideration the economy or anything else. But, you know, if you'll go to page 13, I'm just going to use this one. You know, I know that we've done a lot of cleaning up and changing things and trying to make the town run, you know, more efficient. And I do think that a lot of people have helped, not just the board, but a lot of people. But I think we're only just starting to peel off the shell here. And until we get serious and look at what's happening in Zone 3 and the multiple levels, the drought buffer water program, he's got 7,500, which we threw that idea out the window, right? The whole threat of saltwater intrusion. And keep in mind is that there were rate studies done by Tuckfield and associates all over this county, South County. The majority of them all led back to the same engineer, led back, which would be line 7 on ours, professional service contract engineer. So you're using the same engineer in at minimum 5 little towns in the area. And with a 2,000% increase plus a 3% cost of living increase plus a 6% in benefits, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we still have a lot of peeling to do, but I think that 150 would dwindle dramatically if we really hunkered down on those two line items, because they're tied together, you know, the splash lip that we're all going to be paying for, that we're all paying for now. It's not for us. It's for when the two cities come online to get state water. Nothing splashed out of that dam in 40 years. You know, that lip is for the two cities that are coming on to state water in 2 years. And who's going to pay for it? Again, Oceano. And I couldn't believe, I'm not going to echo what Director Hill said about the Sand District, but also, too, is that that's another situation. And the people of Oceano sacrificed. The plant is in our backyard, and we're paying the same rate as the other two people at the table with no discount, no nothing. It's in our backyard. You know, and that's how our neighbors have treated us in the past. So I really think that I can't use this study because it's wrong. It's just flat wrong. I read this and said, why did they intentionally leave out the real cities that really, that you can do a comparison to? Where's Santa Margarita in this study, too? You know, so there was a rational reason why it wasn't. It wasn't out of the kindness of people's hearts. I can go for a rate increase. I can't go for this recommendation.
Okay. General Manager Montemiro, you wanted to...
I just wanted to, you know, clarify one thing. I never, you know, said, and nor do I agree with, quote, borrowing any money. That wasn't, you know, ever part of my recommendation. I have said numerous times in the past that we cannot raise the rates at the extent in which the report suggests we should. As a matter of fact, I've been on record more than once as saying it should be a three-part process. We need to raise the rates, We need to...
How much?
We need to sell water to our neighbors, and we need to replace the meters. That's always been my position. I just wanted to clarify, I wasn't by any means saying, like Tuckfield says, that we should borrow money. No, no, no. I just said that the only value of that report is you paid $30,000 for it that you could consider at this meeting and still by the 22nd have 55 days if you wanted to use the figures for a 10-year step. You don't want to do that? That's fine. But I don't want to be the one on record saying that, you know, we talking about borrowing money for the infrastructure. No, I've been the one that months ago I had our engineer come in here and do a presentation. He did it, a slide presentation and answered questions, saying that we need to sell water. Before him coming here, if someone mentioned selling water, they thought you were a communist. Now, since then, as a result of where the situation is, there's much more people open to selling water. And I consider that a mission as well. I'm attempting to sell water to Arroyo Grande. Plus, I asked Arroyo Grande if they cared if I attempted to sell water to Grover, and they said no, that, you know, it didn't bother them. So I'm also attempting to sell water to Grover. But I was just making the point that it needs to be three things. One, you have to have a rate increase. Two, so that you can lessen the rate increase, you can sell additional water. And three, we can put in the meters. That's all I have. Thank you.
So I also wanted to ask another question, too, is that there's quite a few houses outside the sphere of Oceano that we do services for in the Arroyo Grande city. In fact, there's the whole neighborhood behind or next to Elm, I mean the 7-Eleven there and stuff. Those are all homes that we're providing services to. Water, sewer.
Just water. AG provides the sewer.
Okay, AG provides the sewer. They provide the street lighting, everything else. We just do the water over there.
Yes, ma'am.
We just maintain that infrastructure, and we just don't get compensated for it, right?
Correct, but they are on the list. A lot of those meters and mains are well over 20, somewhere over 30 years old. So we do intend to replace the meters and over there.
But do you see my point?
I don't understand how we think we're not getting compensated for that.
Because Arroyo Grande keeps the tax dollar. We keep the property tax dollars. Mm-hmm. So we maintain the pipes and the water and stuff, and we don't get any revenue for it.
We charge them the...
Do we charge them wheeling fee?
We charge them the customer's rate.
So they're paying water rates. They're paying the water rates, too. So they would get the rate increase just like everybody
yes,
else.
Yes, I understand that. But, yeah.
Director Dean, yes. Your turn.
I'm kind of in agreement with everybody else here. We have a tremendously flawed report. I don't see that you can take a hatchet to it and say, we'll put this, you know, we'll do this over 10 years, because there's a lot of things I don't even want in here over 10 years. They talked about replacing the loan. I looked it up. That loan is a state drinking water loan. We're paying, $62,000 a year for that. And they want to replace that with another loan for capital improvement projects. I'm thinking, my gosh, we better just keep going for the CDBG funds. We have a good... We are in need here, really in need. I can't see doing that. I can't see...
$300,000.
Here's what we received in... a shipment, so that we got free shipping and we put them all on one truck. They're at the yard, locked up. We ordered 1 4-inch meter, 4 2-inch meters, 7 1.5-inch meters, 42 1-inch meters, 88 3/4-inch meters, and 305 8-inch meters.
Okay.
That's what's been delivered, and since they've been delivered, we've already got 13 in the ground. We've got two 1-inch meter in the ground and 11 5/8 inch meters in the ground.
Okay. So your total number that you have got there for this year, going in this year, is?
I didn't add them up.
Okay.
I just stated what they were, but I can add them in a, you know, in a minute.
400. It's more than 400.
It's more than 400.
Yeah. Okay. So more than 400. Say you're, and that is.
It's about 5% of the total.
That's what I figured, about 5%, and maybe a 10% increase in the. In the capturing of the water.
How I did it the opposite of that. What I did was, I looked at meters that were over 20 years old, and in that block, I looked at the largest meters first because they would ring the cash register more. There's one meter that's a 4-inch business meter, so we ordered one of those. And that's how we ended up with 4 2-inch meters. And 7.5 inch, 42 1-inch, because these are all meters that are larger than the typical 5/8 single residential meter that we can replace.
Mm-hmm.
Then after this, like next year, for example, we're going to get less of the 5/8, and we're going to get some more 3/4 and some more 1-inch, because with the new zoning changes, a lot of the stuff's going to have to be 1-inch anyway. But how these figures came up that we ordered was, we wanted to look at which are the largest meters that are over 20 years old that we can replace. And we only had 1 4-inch, and that should raise substantial.
That would be more than maybe 10% is what you're thinking.
I would hope, you know, we don't know how slow it was, but 10% means it was 90% efficient, and we're hoping that it was less than that.
So just in putting in these new meters, say it's 5% of that, take 5% of our revenues for the 3 months we've had, times maybe 10% increase, that's about $23,000 in 3 months. 3 months. If that's the case, if we had those all operating and going. So that gets you, I mean, that's why people were asking,
the total,
is that correct
the
or not
total
correct?
Number of meters that we've ordered and have been delivered are
442. But we, not raising the rates, not raising the rates at all, this will be an increase in revenues. Maybe we better look at, you know, predicting what this might be, because this is, I mean, this is a big portion of it. That way, because we know if we increase the rates, people are going to cut back. If we don't increase, and I know we have to increase them somewhat, but this 40% increase is just not going to fly with me. The 100% for the sewer is not working. We've got a flawed. I can't give the ratepayers this kind of stuff and say, oh, we're going to use this, and this is why you have to pay this, because I don't believe it. I just don't believe in this rate study. It has to be done so that we can explain to the ratepayers this is why. And I don't see that we don't have our arms around this. Right at this point, we're thinking we're going in the hole $150,000 a year just with the O&M part. We don't know that for certain either. We're making guesses here. That's maybe our best guess. But the other thing that I'm looking at is, I think we should have a standby fee or a charge every month for every meter. I really don't like to limit that and just say, okay, these houses that aren't using water, you don't have to pay anything. There should be like a standby charge. PG&E uses a standby charge for anything, for when farmers don't use the electricity, they still pay a standby charge. I think we should maybe continue that. And that would cut down on the amounts of the rate increase also. So I don't think we're in a point where we can say, oh, yeah, go ahead and chop this in half, because people would like what, no.
What I would suggest is that the general manager bring back a discussion of what our O&M costs are, what the shortfall is between our current revenues and our O&M costs, and some idea of what the rates should look like to fill that gap. And again, if we're $150,000 short over the course of a year, that translates roughly to, in residential customer terms, to $4 a month increase in the water rate and $2 a month increase in the sewer rate. And I would suggest that that should be in our base or fixed charge, not in a not in a variable structure. Also, we need to account for our capital improvement needs and some suggestions on how we might fund those going forward. But I'm quite sensitive to the trouble that Paso Robles finds themselves in because they don't have a they didn't adequately describe once again why it needs to increase water rates, and this, I think we've all concluded that this document doesn't do that for us. So we're in the same position uncomfortably that I think Paso Robles has found themselves in, except that they're suffering under the weight of litigation related to that, and I would hope that we could come up with something that would justify our potential rate needs to our customers without either great expense or litigation. The only litigation I might have in mind, again, is trying to recoup our $29,000 and some dollars that was wasted, in my opinion, on this study.
Okay, anybody else have anything they want to add to talk about on this before I get a public comment?
Go ahead. The only thing I did like about it is that the commodity charge, there was no free ride. So 1 to 6, there was a charge for that. And I think that should happen. I think that everybody should be paying for the commodity. Maybe the standby charge can be lessened or something like that. Maybe there's some options that we can look at to make it right. But oftentimes there is only, you know, there may be only one meter and many households working off of that one meter, and they really should pay everything, as should everybody, for a commodity.
According to Mr. Tuckfield, the district bills on an equivalent dwelling unit basis, because if that's not the case, then there's bigger problems with this report than meet the eye.
There could be, too. I don't know that that's the case.
Well, we need that's another
that
thing
would
that
be
we,
something we
that
need
we
to look
definitely
at.
Definitely need to learn.
We need to look at that because I'm not sure that Mr. Tuckfield is correct on that. That's what he says. I'm not sure.
Okay. Director Angela?
Yeah, since this doesn't work, it's going to go through, which I understand why. Do we need to set aside some time to work on this as a group or as a committee, or just turn it over to Rafael and let him squeeze it in the rest of his time? Or should we, you know, I'd be willing to sit and work on it too if you guys want to do something like that.
I would think maybe a committee might be a better better way to go. You'd get quicker response that way than to try to continue to set up numerous meetings with all the five of us.
I'm willing to do that.
We have a water and sewer committee still. Who's on that?
I think you and Mary are.
I am.
I think so.
You are now.
You be? Okay. You heard?
Yes, I think so.
Right. I have to do all the writing.
I don't, giving the time of the year and stuff coming up, I'm not sure that that would be the most productive. Do you want to work on this, Mary? Since
yeah, I'm fine with working on it.
Okay. Public comment on the recommended increase, both water rates and sewer rates.
Giselle Naylor, Oceano. I'm looking at this from a homeowner's point of view. And for 10 years, I do not even know where my water lines in are, and that's after I paid a contractor to completely repipe my house. Our big mistake was trusting that the sewer lines that were there didn't need to be changed, and we certainly didn't track the water lines back to the street. But if OCSD is thinking they need to improve their infrastructure, we need to improve our sewer system, we need to improve our, you know, the main water pipes in the streets, the homeowners have the right to know exactly where they are located and exactly what is being replaced. For 10 years, I mean, I know my garbage rates have gone up, and the Lopez rates have gone up, but you know exactly what can I see with my five senses that is improving? I mean, where is that going? And I know that my water was being used by somebody on my block, and I figured it out when a neighbor two doors up rebuilt another house and had to put in a new water meter, and all of a sudden I stopped hearing water running through my pipes when I wasn't using the water in my house. I mean, for 10 years I've been wondering, where's my water going? There's just me living in a house that some people have, you know, trailers that are bigger than my house. I've rented storage spaces that are bigger than my house. So I'm not using 4,000 gallons of water every 2 months. You know, my water went somewhere. I want to know where it went. And so if I'm going to pay to improve the water system, I want to know exactly, like when I go out of my house, you know, where is my water meter, and you know, where are the main pipes going? And if I'm trying to track in my subdivision, out of all the people in my subdivision, why can't I find water meters that go to their houses? You know, why, you know, when people like the county taking land that they claim was part of an easement when the land was never offered to the county for dedication, yet the county came in, took that land that was part of my property and gave it to a developer and did that with three other homeowners and their land, you know, and along with a water meter that, at least in theory, was the second water meter that miraculously appeared right next to my property, and then they gave that away. It's like, no, before I pay another dollar, I want to know exactly who is getting water off of what meter on my block.
Okay.
You know, so the increase, Mr. Hill is talking in terms I can understand. If I have to pay an extra $4 a month to, you know, increase in water and $2 to improve the sewer, that's something I can wrap my hand around. But having a public meeting 3 days before Christmas on this, no way. July maybe, and really making the whole thing transparent. I'd like to take some public tours of our wastewater treatment plant. When I go down to my garbage collection in the South County and say I want to protest my garbage bill, who owns the garbage company, and they say, we don't know? No. Nobody gets more money from me until there's more transparency. And if you're going to form an ad hoc committee, Vern, I sure hope the public gets to sit in on it. And before you double anybody's salary, like I understand you voted to double John Wallace's salary from $80,000 to
$150,000 a year. That's
not true. Okay, well, let me tell you, that was reported in Calcoast News. So that's, I'm sorry to bring that up now, but, you know, in this fiscal crisis, there has to be more transparency with the whole water sewer thing. I want to know exactly what's in the ground and what I'm paying for.
Okay, thank you.
Can you tell me within $25,000 what he gets a year down there?
David, I'll go over those numbers with you, but not at the meeting right here. So, and oh, I'll show
I
you
mean,
whatever it is. But right now we're on this water rate increase.
To know too.
Right now we're at this water rate increase.
Okay.
So.
And going on to the water rates, Jim, you mentioned earlier about recouping some of the money from Tuckfield. Is that like realistic? I mean, you really think that? I mean, are you going to pursue that, or?
I don't know. It would take a majority vote, I'm sure.
And how? I mean, do you have an idea?
Do I personally consider this report garbage? Absolutely.
I agree 100%. But I wouldn't know how to go about recouping the money. I just wouldn't know. I mean, you know, maybe somebody else would. I don't know. Maybe the lawyer would. Because that's a pretty expensive study to basically light a fire with. And that's about what we're going to do with it. Number two is it's obvious that we're going in the red. Everybody will agree upon that. It's just the amount is what we can't seem to agree upon. And I want to bring it to everybody's attention on the board that water rates have been lowered before. So, you know, if you were to proceed with raising the water rates, getting us back to where we're not taking money out of our reserves on a bi-monthly basis to meet our bills, and go ahead and start charging somewhat more, and then if we find out that we raised them too much, we could adjust them back down. And that has been done within this district before. And that seems like something that everybody should be able to agree upon, that we are losing money. I mean, is there any doubt in anybody's mind? It's just a matter of how much. And so, you know, I think something should be done immediately. That's what I have.
Keith Swanson, I guess the first issue is that at the meeting that you had last week, there was direction to the general manager to check on what expected water sales you might realize as one of the considerations for whatever the rate increase would be, and I don't see that happening other than if I was to consider a rate increase and have to be in conformance with the Prop 218, and I'd consult with your attorney for that, for the basis of that increase, is to ask and instruct your general manager to provide you a list of the information that you guys need to be able to make the right decision, revenues that you need, the infrastructure that you need to improve, and so on, before you
move on with a rate increase. I agree with Director Hill. At least, you know, if $4 is what it is, I think that's fair. But is it going to be enough? And so I hate to shortchange it in the rush to get it to make an even number in January. I mean, it's only a month, and what's that revenue, you know, loss going to be? As far as a committee, yeah, I'd like to know when that's going to occur. I'd like to participate, and I know Richard and I would like to participate and help with that so that you can establish this as quickly as you can, because I know you need it. As far as Mr. Tuckfield is concerned, I would query as to who his errors and omissions insurance carrier is so that you can file a claim with them, and also even consider Wallace. And I don't know what the RFP, if Mr. Tuckfield was actually one of the bidders or if it was Wallace. That's just my concern, is that, you know, part of the ad hoc committee would have to establish the reason why you're going to make the Prop 218 rate increase so that you can justify it. But unfortunately, I feel, again, very bad that Tuckfield took you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, one moment, please.
Didn't our engineers select Tuckfield? Is that how we, or did that contract go out to bid?
Pass it in.
Go ahead. I'm getting the answer. So
I do have one question, though. Mr. Swanson mentioned errors and omissions, but my understanding with errors and omissions is that that protects the person who has the policy rather than the victims, if you will. Would we not have to file some action against him in order to...
You would initiate a claim against him. He would consult with his errors and omissions insurance carrier, if he has one. I believe he was required to under the contract. For those sorts of professional services consultants, the policies tend to have a fairly high deductible on them, but presumably there'd be some coverage, and negotiations over the claim or defense of a lawsuit, if one was ultimately filed, would probably be handled by the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go on.
Carol Henson Oceano. I'd just like to make a couple of points regarding the various things that have been discussed here. And the Tuckfield, of course, is one of them, in that if the board does determine what reason that we have to increase the rates, the board members could write that or have the staff write the reasons once they have their ad hoc or committee meeting, so that we wouldn't have to go back to Tuckfield and either have them charge us to write a letter to meet Prop 218. And then I'm hoping that the board is going to direct the staff or do some investigation into going back and trying to recover our money for this study. And I wanted to discuss Pam Dean's mention of the standby fee, and I know that they do have it in some districts, and however, since we have the minimum fee of the minimum fee from 0 to 6, which is set and fixed, and you pay for it whether you use your water or not.
No, there's none right now.
I'm sorry?
There's no minimum fee right now. For 0 to 6, there's nothing.
Per unit, I think it's...
Oh, a minimum fee. Okay, yeah. But there is
$23.94.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's a 23,
so what I'm saying
it's
is
a
whether,
standby.
Whether I understand the standby concept. However, I'm saying that even if a place isn't occupied and there's no water being used, there's still a minimum fee of $23.94 for residential.
Right.
So consequently, the only... And then if we had anyone move out of a residence or that was not occupied, of course, the water would be shut off. But as long as the water service is in service, if a house becomes vacant and then reappears, that property pays that minimum of $23.94, regardless if any water is used or not.
Tuckfield was getting rid of that minimum fee.
Well, I'm glad that we're not
taking
that.
They were charging for consumption.
Well, we do charge for consumption after after from but, 0 to 6,
right.
We have the minimum flat fee, which stays, and if you don't use water, you pay it regardless. However,
that
after...
That won't happen. Yeah, that won't happen with the tuck field. It will just charge for consumption.
Okay, well, I'm certainly glad that we're not happy with tuck field then, because I felt that was a pretty good deal, and then you pay for anything over that. And the average family uses 20 units of water bimonthly, so anything over 6, you know, the families are paying for. And in that vein, I want to say that because I've had sticker shock of having to pay my water bill, sewer, sanitation, I have extremely conserved, and I have cut off in 30 days, I've cut off 5 units of use with my water consumption. So that would say that if we're depending in our, and if we depend on our residential revenue from our water rates, and if we raise the rates in this, in these times now, where people are already being affected, you know, it's not that they're extremely high, it's just that incomes are extremely low. So consequently, what we gain in advantage from raising our rates, we'll lose in revenue from people conserving. And I would have conserved probably 9 to 10 units of water this month, and I've used 4. So consequently, that's an example, and I'm not a person of independent means, and I'm trying to conserve. The other thing is talking about raising, getting revenue. Mary Lucy touched on it. She was asking something about the water services that we provide that we're with, that are outside of our district. And I briefly touched on that with our general manager last week, and I'm wondering, I know that where I live, we have the sewer wheeled that we serve. I know some by 7-Eleven, some on the hill. But I wonder, are we paying out of, are we charging out of district water charges for our services? And if we're doing any wheeling, are we charging wheeling fees, and are we charging out of district wheeling fees? And I think that's something we need to look at, because that would be something that's common practice in other places that give water service. And then I think that's important for us to look within our district and how we can collect revenue. I know that we rent the depot over here for $1 a year, and I know that the depot is used. It's just like our boardroom is used here, and our general manager discussed possibly charging for certain functions and fees. I think, you know, depending on who uses that depot and the community center, I mean, I think, you know, yes, that it's good for our community to have a community center. However, I think the days of $1 a year rent are gone, and the economy is different. And that's about all I have to say, okay. But I did want to talk about, while you can raise your rates, that people are going to conserve, and we'll, while we'll think we're gaining revenue, actually we'll lose it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Let me address a couple misconceptions.
Let me do that. I'll let you do that in just 1 second. I suggest you come in sometime on your own time, come and talk with the general manager, and let him go over and explain to you how the out-of-district and out-of-area charges work.
Hopefully he has time.
Yeah. Yes. Director Hill.
The Tuckfield report doesn't eliminate the the base rate, if you want to call it that. Our current base rate is $23.94 bimonthly. Tuckfield would effectively cut that in half. So it doesn't go to zero in his view of the world. And wheeling is a charge that is paid for delivery of water. So we only deliver water as far as the borderline of the district. And wheeling, you might think of it as a tank truck. Somebody's got to carry the water beyond the border of the district. So that's where that comes in, and we don't charge wheeling to anybody within the district. We don't charge wheeling to anybody outside the district. Well, the only way we would charge wheeling is if some outside provider of water provided water to somebody within the district, and then we would wheel it to that location.
Okay.
Richard Margetson. First of all, again, I want to offer any help that Keith and I can give you. We've been through this before. We had to correct a report for Los Osos. We've told you all about that. First of all, page 15 of the report. Does everybody have the report? I'm glad that you, it sounds like you've taken, or you've decided to take a breath and take some time to do this correctly. But I just want you to know that line 2, if you go across to the January projections for revenue for the rest of the year, 54,000 if you take the 8% increase now. So even if you take a, if this doesn't get implemented for a month, the revenue you're not going to realize is about $9,000. I think it's worth it for you to do it right. There actually is on this page something that may be worth the committee's looking at. I think the second column, starting with number 12 through 21, through 22, I think that those numbers there kind of are going to give you an idea of what your expenses are. Most of those can't be changed, with the exception of line 12. The O&M, you may be able to cut some back or find some ways to whittle some money out there. But I think that's your most accurate right now indication of what your expenses are going to be next year. And if you had used Mr. Matamoros' example of using 8% this year, or in January, then not using it next year, in the upper section under number 2 and 3, that revenue for next year would have been about $130,000. It wouldn't have been the $257,000. The revenue projections based on his monthly bills that would be going out to customers don't add up to the revenue projections. There would have to be more than 2,100 or whatever the number is, number of bills going out to meet these revenue projections. If that's the case, then you got bigger problems than we're talking about. Some small things as I go through the report, page 2. I think it's a good thing to at least have a discussion about maybe having some type of charge in the 0 to 6 range. We went to charging something for the first unit. We believe that if you're using water, you should pay something for the first unit of consumption. Maybe if you move the Jim's suggestion from 4 to 3 and you had a small charge in per unit in the first 6, whatever. I mean, I think that's something you can play around with. We had spreadsheets that played around with doing those type of projections and numbers. But I noticed, are these increases, how are you going to deal with the Lopez charge? Because Mr. Tuckfield didn't change it in the first year, but then he added 8% after that across. Is that mandatory? Would that be... I mean, do you have mandatory increases from Lopez?
What Lopez is, one of the things happening with Lopez is they're starting to charge for the principal now, and we had been paying just interest.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you have to take that into account, too, as to where you get with your final revenue projection numbers. This never came up, and I guess it's not that important, but under the non-residential category up at the top, under the meter charges, in the first year, the January projections, why some of the meter charges went down as you go down the column, and then some of them went up, and why some of them went up dramatically. I don't know if there's an answer to that, but I'm just curious.
I think the answer to that is, again, is Tuckfield's the whole thing here is he wants to go to consumption-based rates.
Yeah.
In other words, he's trying to conserve water. His main goal.
And then on the wastewater service charges, you were talking about $2 in the single family residential category. I take it the committee will deal with this, but the school district, the first year in his report, he had no increase. You're not proposing adding $2 to that. You're just proposing adding some factor of that to that?
A factor of that, right?
Okay.
Because the school charge is usually based on the fact that students are only there for 6 hours a day, probably.
Average daily attendance.
Right.
There's one other thing. I talked about the dwelling unit equivalent. Oh. I also think the committee has to have a serious discussion of what you're going to do about benefits and employee salaries, because in total, the difference over the 5 years in total dollars is over $30,000. I think you need to work that into your revenue projections and your revenue schemes. It doesn't sound like a lot of money, but when you started adding percentages to those numbers, it goes up pretty quick. And then back to the page 15, I think you have to get to a number based on, I think you have to, before the committee meets, and that's what happened with us, is we had the ability, when we just did the recent rate increase, we had the ability to basically ask the general manager and the utilities manager to provide whatever information we needed. So don't be afraid to ask for what you need. And if you don't get it, ask again, because there's a lot of components to yours that have to be pretty close, because you don't want to be coming back to the community again in 2 years knowing that you still have a substantial shortfall. I think your major revenue increases in dollar amount are in the outlying years. Get it right now, and it'll benefit you down the road. And again, if we can help in any way, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The board meeting to be emailing back and forth would be.
Well, I was just talking about a committee to work on.
But if the two of you. Yeah, if the two of you are working on a committee and you can come back intermittently to the board to discuss issues and areas that you run into, we could have it as a discussion at each board meeting, and you know what's being looked at and where to go from there, so that the board as a whole in front of the public is involved in the. And it's seen it, you know, easily seen of what the direction is and what's going on. That might be the best way to be as disclosed as possible.
In the interest of the fact that we are going in the hole in a rather rapid rate, we might want to pursue some kind of a parallel path where the general manager could do whatever he can to do a 218 process, again, some rough calculations are about a $4 a month increase in the water rates and a $2 a month increase in the sewer rate would provide approximately what it would take to stop the bleeding. And while Richard's comment that you know, in years going forward, we may have to adjust that is very well taken. It's a rough calculation. But we need to have, if we're going to proceed with a 218 thing, we need to have some numbers on paper that people can look at. And if we get questioned in terms of I don't want to be in front of Judge Tangeman as Paso Robles was, having to justify, you know, when all we've got is some verbal discussion that may or may not have happened. We need to have something on paper that describes what our rates are, what our shortfall is, why we need the money. And when that comes to pass, we should proceed as directly as possible to instituting the 215 requirements so that people have a chance to comment on it and be aware of it. I think the whole thing needs to be done in as much as possible open meetings so people understand what's going on here.
Did you say 218?
218.
Okay, so how do we want to proceed? Okay, Mr. Seamus, we have to come up with the required financial reports to show that to justify the increase. The board's not satisfied with the study we have here. To proceed at this point to come up with those documents to show that the increase is needed, is that something we can get out of staff to do? Meet those legal requirements, or what legal requirements do we need to do? What do we have to do at this point?
You need to come up with an appropriate defensible justification. In some public agencies, they have the necessary staff on board to be able to do that. I don't think Oceano does. In some public agencies, they will use their normal outside engineering contractor to do it if the capabilities are there. I gather it's been determined that that's not the case here from the very fact that Wallace suggested that we use an outside consultant for this. So I think while there's a lot of things you could do in theory, the practical reality is you probably need to either go back to Tuckfield and Associates, give them your concerns, ask them to rewrite the report at no cost, or go out and seek another contractor and then pursue whatever remedies against Tuckfield and Associates you think are appropriate.
Seems to me we could probably proceed in-house, starting with our budget. We have a pretty good, we have 3 months worth of data that's very valuable. It shows what our income is, and our income is fairly well predictable month to month, looking at the numbers that we have. We ought to be able to project these numbers going forward through the end of the fiscal year, compare that with our budget, see where we're short, and justify an increase on that.
That's fine, but I don't have the staff or the resources or the time unless I give up trying to finish the audits or trying to, finish the computer system. I've reduced my staff 25% versus last year. And this kind of stuff is very, very time consuming. So if I don't believe that I could prepare the information that would withstand the judge or the legal test, so you would have to, either get help or job it out, or I would have to abandon some other project that I'm presently doing. Because, when you cut your staff by 25%, you still have the services day to day. Now, I'm not complaining, I'm explaining, but I get one person, has got bronchitis, I'm out there passing out receipts and answering the telephone just to keep the door open.
Exactly.
I sure as heck can't crunch all these numbers. And, it took Tuckfield a year to do this, and we paid him $30,000. I can't do the project and do a good job
without help or spending additional money. And I understand the gentleman, and that's great. You know, if they want to help, they've gone it, they've done it in Los Osos, that's fine. But it requires someone that has more time, and I have way more on my plate than to do this project correctly would allow me to do. Not to mention that to get some of the information, you know, you have to get it out of the computer. And in the past, where Tuckfield got that information from was from the previous people that left. We don't have the ability to dig out some of the information like one would expect us to have. And I know that because that's a challenge every day. There's a lot of challenges here. And, you know, the comment that, well, if we use Tuckfield's report in 2 years, we're going to be short. I understand that. I was just trying to come up with something that would work. And what would work is raise the water rates, sell more water, and put in the meters. And that's all I have. But I have nor the staff nor the time to put into this project to redo the Tuckfield thing with all the variables unless I abandon some other project, or then we'll really be short. The whole idea of reducing the staff to cut the budget was just to take care of stuff that absolutely needed to be done. And, you know, a project of this size, it's too big to add to the list.
I don't think we need to reinvent the Tuckfield report. I think what we need to do is find out what our projected year-end expenses are, our projected year-end revenues, see where they're short, and propose a flat rate increase that would cover that amount.
The problem with that is that, you know, the judge will go, where's the financial audits? You know, we're behind in that. It won't stand the court hearing. I'm not going to recommend a project that I see litigation or problems down the road. And we're already behind, and we're trying to, you know, get the audits done with minimum staff. I don't see the ability. There's a lot of work. If you throw out the Tuckfield contract, or for lack of a better term, throw out the $30,000, you're going to need a lot of time and a lot of effort to come up with numbers that are going to withstand the judge and the 218 process.
Well, we know that Tuckfield's numbers won't withstand it. So that leaves us about where we started with Tuckfield. Perhaps what we need to do at the next board meeting is bring a proposal for temporary assistance to get the audits moving and so forth. But maybe your ad hoc committee needs to meet and proceed.
Meet and proceed and come back with some
recommendation
for direction. And okay, that sounds like a good idea. Director Dean, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I think we have to.
But, you know, we're looking at something that is not trying to, consumption-based type rate structure like we've had, you know, not the one that the type of rate structure that Tuckfield has put down for us. I'm going to reopen public comment as long as that's okay with everybody.
I have a question.
Okay.
When you say not consumption charges,
well,
just adjust the rates without any kind of a consumption?
Well, no, they're talking about different tiers so that so that the rates are penalizes people that use more water. We have plenty of water. We don't need to penalize people that use it. We need to get them to use more so that we get more money in.
Okay.
Because we're paying for it whether we use it or not.
true. Yeah.
Right. So if there's no objection, I'm going to reopen public comment at this time. So please.
I'm sorry to come up again. Richard Margetson again. I think the subcommittee can do this. I think you were talking about Jim and Mary doing it with some assistance. Sorry, Laurie.
I'll give it a shot anyway.
The subcommittee in Bososa Sawazan, Keith asked if I had it with, and I just happened to have it in the photo. I didn't think I had it with. But this is the document we produced, and it stood the test of the 218. There's 2,700 customers in the Los Osos CSD Water District. There were, I think, 54 protests. You know, some people will protest any rate increase. But it lists in here what we took into account. You know, we looked at the budget. The audit had nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. The audit was of no interest. It was no interest to the last rate study in Los Osos. It's basically looking at your budget, your projections of revenue, your projections of expenses, where you want to be and what you want your structure to do and what you want your rate increase to accomplish down the road. We added a water conservation component. We now have a $30,000 line item for water conservation programs. We're complete opposite of you. We need to save as much water as possible. But it's spelled out. I'll just flip through it for you. I mean, it spelled out what tiers we were going to, what we were going to do as far as consumption, a description of what we did, what our recommendations were, and then an example of the tiered structure in the back. And we went through, you know, financial drivers, stability, socioeconomic drivers, affordability, subcommittee recommendations, basis for the recommended rate after looking at the budget. And we listed all the documents we looked at. We submitted it to the full committee in Los Osos, and they submitted it to the board, and the board adopted it, set the 218 process, and I mean they tweaked a couple of things. We actually put in a CPI component, not mandatory, but that the board could take a CPI increase without having to go back to 218. I mean things like that that you can tweak at the end. But ours was done with a 7-page document that cost the community nothing.
Can we get a copy?
I can give you a copy of it. I mean, it's not going to apply to you because our issues are totally different than yours, but I can give you a copy of it.
It's a starting point,
sure.
Then.
But I believe taking the time to do it at the committee level, even if you need some help from district, is going to save you in the long run. This is something you can do. I mean, you have a lot of the base information already. So.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to speak to the Ralph M. Brown Act regarding this, because there was discussion about creating a committee to discuss the water rates, and Section 54952.2b of the Ralph M. Brown Act states that a majority of the members of a legislative body shall not, outside a meeting authorized by this chapter, use a series of communications of any kind, directly or through intermediaries, to discuss, deliberate, or take action on any item of business that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of a legislative body. So if you're talking about having a committee meeting and then reporting back to the board about what you found, to me that raises the issue that it's, unless it's a public committee, it's violating the Brown Act. And I certainly want to be on that committee. I mean, you know, I don't want to be the type of person that says, no, 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 you can't do this and be an obstruction. I really want somebody to say, you know, if you want to learn about what you're paying for and what you're paying,
this is about getting a template in front of somebody so they can plug stuff in. It's not about hiding things. You know, and I'm somewhat offended that people would even imply that.
Okay, thank you.
So if somebody else wants to create a draft from all this paperwork, you go for it.
And a lot of times you can't do all your work. You got to do work at home. You can't do it sitting sitting in there, and that's not a, it's not an issue.
You know.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's not an issue.
Nothing's going to be passed, nothing's going to be voted on. It's wordsmithing. Simple wordsmithing.
Yeah. And the meetings, that the ad hoc meetings are open to the public. You know,
yes.
Anybody can attend those, and you know, they'll be available for anyone to sit in and listen. They're a working committee.
Living, breathing document, you know.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else from the public want to comment at this time? Okay, bringing it back to the board. So at this point, what we'll do is just set up the ad hoc committee, and you guys will determine when you want to meet. Get started on this.
I'd like to get some information. I talked to those gentlemen too.
So. Yeah, and if you know, you can.
We'll try to meet before Monday. I got to be in Beale at 9 o'clock in the morning for more water.
Oh, that thing down the side.
So
yeah.
After we get done with this, can you make a motion to adjourn this meeting at some reasonable time?
After we get done with this item right now.
After we're done with
this item. Okay, and so do we need a motion and a second on creating the ad hoc?
This is the first of the month for me at work.
Okay. So we have a motion to create the ad hoc.
Saturday.
I second that.
Yeah.
Okay. And that ad hoc consists of Director Angelo and Director Lucy. And the ad hoc is to discuss and to come up with the recommendations to move forward on the water rate.
Yes.
And so rate
increase. To come up with strong justifications for a rate increase.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Sewer and water rate increase.
Yeah, but justifications, correct?
Justifications
and actual
right.
You know,
facts.
Yes, amounts.
Amounts.
Yeah.
All right. Those are, that's the understanding of the first and the second. And so take a roll call vote, please. Director Hill.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Director Angelo?
Yes. Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. So the motion carries 5-0. And at this time, let's look at our, it's 10 o'clock, let's look at our agenda and see if we're going to, what else we need to do today, tonight. These, can we put 7B off to the next agenda? And 7D and E, General Manager Montemiro.
7D and E.
Yeah. What's the? Is this time relevant?
7D and E. Let me just 1 second. I have a. I got it right here. What 7D and is, I'll just read it real quickly.
Just let us know if it's time relevant for tonight.
I need to read this because it's from the county. Mr. Montemuro, attached you will find the amendment for the Lopez Water Study contract and resolution approving the agreement that needs your board's approval in order to keep the financing on schedule. We need to have your board act no later than November 16th.
Okay, so we can put this off to the next agenda then.
Okay.
All right, and that's D and E?
Yes, sir. They're both the same.
Okay. And we need to do 8A. 8B should not take much time at all, right? Do you want to do that one? Okay, and the reports we can put off?
Next.
You might want to look at these resolutions 17 and so forth.
You want to do Water Authority?
All right. We can just take that home and read it. Okay. So that will cut down quite a bit on our agenda.
Okay.
So did you want a break now, Mary, or did you want to?
No,
okay. All right. So we're going to take a report on 7. We're going to take 7B, and we'll put that off to the next agenda. We're going to take a report on 7D and E. You could just bring us up to speed on that. Tell us what's going on.
Basically, what 7D and E are, I was instructed. I'm surprised they didn't send anybody to speak. If you like, I can have someone come at our next board meeting. The county has decided that they're going to refinance their past the call protection. The Lopez bonds originally were 20-year bonds with 10 years of call protection. Now the call protection has passed. So the county's come up with this idea that they want to refinance the bonds for the balance. And basically, the county's part of it, AG's part of it, Grover's part of it, and we're the smallest part, according to the county, of the obligation. So they instructed me to provide these. The board act no later than November 16th. You need to return to us 2 original documents of the resolution and contract amendment as soon as practical after adoption. Notify us when these are available for pickup, and thank you. And then it's William Clemens, County of San Luis Obispo Public Works Department Administrator. So I got them. I spoke with our legal counsel on them. You know, basically, the county's telling us we're going to do this, and they need our signatures on these documents.
And it should lower the overall cost to the district in the long run.
In the long run, but it's going to be minimal because
yeah.
The point spread isn't there. They're paying an outrageous amount for fees, $750,000. It's no deal that I would bring to my board or recommend. It's just what the county's doing.
They probably know somebody in the investment banking business.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm very concerned with is on page 3 of the amendment number 2, section 4, agencies' obligations regarding advance from district. And when you read this, when they use the term district, they're talking about the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And when they talk about an agency, they're talking about organizations such as OCSD.
I asked them that question as well. And they said that when they started, after they started the process, they realized that not just us, but other agencies, they didn't tell me who, in the past 10 years have neglected to provide the correct recording, the correct information to the trustees that were paying the bonds. So it wasn't going to work that way. So they said, well, what we'll do is we'll rewrite it and we'll have the flood control who... And that's where they came up with this, because I asked that question. I go, wait a minute. How come we're not replacing Lopez bonds with Lopez bonds? Well, it was found out that when they started going through the application process that the county isn't the financial wizards that they think they are. And then they realized that there was people out there that were disappointed that in the last 10 years, agencies that should have recorded to their trustees their financials, what was going on, they haven't done it. So this is strictly a county deal. Like I said, that's why I wanted to read the piece about the November 16th. I can request that the county send someone here the first meeting in November and better explain what they're trying to do here. But
I'm
basically how they told me, this is the deal we're doing, and kind of like, you know, you don't have a choice. So
I'm tempted not to support this on that basis, but reading Section 4 here is, in the event that agency, that's us, is unable to meet its obligation to provide certain financial and operating data relating to such agency, in other words, if we can't provide certain financial and operating data about us, which we've historically had a grave difficulty providing to ourselves, much less anybody else, I don't see how we're going to be able to do that. And then it goes on to say that the district, that's them, may provide an amount, quote, the advance. And I'm sure they're talking about U.S. dollars there in terms of amount.
Three or four people from the county, from Pavel, the director of public works, to the county auditor, Jerry Sievig, were there. And they were talking about refinancing the Lopez bonds. I told them. I says, I don't want to be the one to blow up the deal here. I says, but the questions that they're going to ask on Wall Street, we don't have the answers for. And I looked at him and I told him that. And, you know, I don't want to mention any names, but one of the county officials looked at me and blew me off. So then they continued talking around the table, and, you know, they were talking about what a great deal it is. The interest rate is 5.5%. They might be able to get 4, which, you know. Then when it came around to my time again to speak, I looked at the county official, and I told him right to his face, I says, before I came here, I was a member of the Securities and Exchange Commission for years. And the questions that they're going to ask, I've been to Wall Street. I've sold bonds. And the questions that they're going to ask, I can't answer. So don't say I didn't tell you. So that blew up the whole thing. But they were informed. I told them. I did my part. Then when they started that process, they realized that it wasn't just our district. It was other districts that haven't met the recording requirements over the years to the present bondholders. So the thing's messed up, but I told the county the first time it was brought to me, and that was in September.
Okay. So it looks like this is basically something to make a lot of money for underwriters and could get us into
That was another difficulty. I asked who the underwriter was going to be. And then after I had asked those, well, you know, things have changed since you've been on Wall Street, because I know most of the underwriters. And they says, well, this would just be some local person. I looked at the fees. They're $750,000. It wasn't my idea. It wouldn't be anything I'd recommend to my board. It's a county deal.
Okay. So right now we'll get somebody here from the county.
I'll attempt to get someone at the next board meeting, and I'll tell them that we've got questions and we need answers.
And they need to bring their financial information, because sometimes when you get into this, any refinancing, you have to have this for a long period of time or something before it makes financial sense for doing this. Okay. We don't need to talk anymore about it, but they need to bring something to show us in advance. I mean, you look at this and you don't know what they're talking about.
Rule of thumb, if there's not a 2-point spread, don't refinance. It doesn't even meet the basic, you know, financial criteria.
I thought interest rates were a lot lower than 4%. Why can't they get something?
The present bonds are 5.5.
Yeah.
For me to recommend it to my board, they'd have to get at least 3.5. They're not getting that.
Somebody's making money.
For a point and a half, and someone's going to get $750,000 in fees.
Yeah.
It's not my deal.
Okay. I'd move to reject this out of hand.
Well, okay. If you adopted it, that's a lovely idea.
All right. Well, we'll bring it back for the next meeting and...
We'll bring it back to the next meeting. I'll attempt tomorrow. As soon as I find out whether or not the county's going to send somebody, I'll send it out in the week at a glance.
Okay, and get as much information as you can on this so that we can make a well-informed decision. All right. Item 8A, cleaning inspection of the district sewer and water lines, the continuing disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors. Any comments on this?
What does it cost each year?
What, this?
Yeah, how much does it cost us then?
I'm trying to find out if we can eliminate it, but no one's told me for sure. And
you should ask the engineer how much it costs. I'll ask him.
So I put it on. I'll read it if you like, but everybody knows what it says.
We don't want to read it.
Okay. No.
I would ask for a motion to approve the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
Okay. Public comment on this? Okay. Hearing none, bring it back to board. Entertain a motion.
I'm getting less inclined to support this every time it comes up, because I think if there was another earthquake, what happens? Do we get in, you know, do we say, well, you still had the emergency from the last time, so we can't pay you anything on this new earthquake because you still have damage from the old one. I think this is a done deal. There's no more to be gleaned from it.
In the emergency time period to get the job completed, I don't think that applies anymore. I haven't thought it's applied it for a long time.
And if
another emergency occurs, another earthquake or some other catastrophe,
just declare it again.
Then you have a new declaration.
Yeah. Does it tie into whether we receive any funds or can receive any funds on it?
I know I heard words to that effect come out of Mitch Cooney's mouth a long time ago, and it might very well have been absolutely legitimate at that time, but it was a long time ago.
And the sewer repairs, meanwhile, have been completed and paid for.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You comfortable with letting it drop?
Sure. You won't see it again on the next agenda.
Well, at the discretion of the board, you want to
call it, make a motion, bring it to a vote.
All right. I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we stop declaring the cleaning inspection in the name of the state of emergency.
Yeah, terminate the declaration of emergency.
Declaration of emergency, section 220.50(c)(1).
Second.
Yes.
All those in favor? Oh, sorry, Bert.
Yeah. Okay.
Call for a roll call.
Yes. All right, motion to terminate, Director Lucy. And who was the second?
I am.
And Director Hill for a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Carries 5-0. So. All right.
That should save a few cases of paper every year.
Item 8B, will serve letter.
Will serve letter. This is actually a renewal request for a will serve letter that was originally issued, and it's APN number 062282007. It's a three-lot split that is located off of 16th Street in, and it's like totals 0.56 acres. I've included the previous information that was used for the first will serve letter, and we're recommending approval of basically renewing the will serve letter so that it will expire October 27th of 11. I've got a written request from the Castemda family, and everything looks in order, so I would recommend approval.
Pending public comment, I move that we adopt the general manager's recommendation and approve the will serve letter.
My second.
I have to recuse myself on this.
Okay. Okay. Is there any no changes in it from the last year? Nothing else that we need to?
No, sir.
So everything works fine the way the last year was. Okay. Any other questions? Discussion? Public comment on this item? Okay. Hearing none. Bring it back to the board. Final comments before we vote. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dole?
Yes. Carries 4-0 with one recused. Okay, this takes us to item number...
That's it.
10... I'm sorry, item number 11, public comment. Any... Okay, that's hearing none. Okay, and board member items for the next board meeting? Anybody?
I consider, I'd like the board to consider taking action to recover our $29,000 from Tuckfield Associates.
That's a legal legal thing, so we would meet that in closed session?
I would be inclined to encourage you to do it in closed session, but it's not required.
Okay, let's set up a closed session for it.
Okay. Although, and I have to be in Chicago the night of the next meeting. I can certainly make sure Ryan's here, but you normally don't have us attend the first meeting of the month.
Okay.
But
well, there's no big rush on this, so let's. I would prefer if we set it for a closed meeting at the next time that.
Which would probably be in January, the end of January.
Okay.
And hopefully, we'll have some information on the rate study.
We'll have it together.
Okay, and also we should have something on the agenda for you guys to for the ad hoc to get in and out, you know, interaction with the board.
We'll have a draft document.
Okay.
And the things that weren't acted on tonight.
Yeah, and the not acted on.
The ones we put next.
Okay.
Just one last thing. I wanted to thank Mr. Richard Margetson. He gave me a copy of his report, and what I'll do is I'll make copies and send them to all the directors in the week at a glance so everyone will have a copy of
the
report. Okay, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn tonight's meeting.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Carries 5-0.
Yeah.